Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Tim, Michael, and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analytics hour. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 52. Wow. Tim Wilson, the year is coming to a close. 2016 is in the books, and year two of the podcast is done. What a year it's been. How you feeling?
I don't know. We haven't killed each other yet, so.
We have not, but it's been a crazy year, and this episode we're talking about our year in review, and a little bit maybe about what's coming up next for the Power Hour. The Digital Analytics Power Hour. Dun, dun, dun! Yeah, drama. I mean, it's been a crazy year, and I think we've covered a lot of different topics from, you know, all the new kind of things that were happening with Google and Adobe and Domo to attribution to data science to BigQuery, R, podcast measurement. I mean, the list goes on and on. But what has happened this year for you, Tim, that from an industry perspective you think is noteworthy?
So for me, because I've been very, very open and public about being on this personal professional journey on the kind of R and data science front. So I don't know if I have a skewed perspective on that. My sense is that it's kind of there's sort of two things happening in parallel. One, the big platforms, specifically Adobe and Google, have really started kind of upping their game when it comes to making the data accessible and providing richer ways to interact with it, and slowly starting to, you know, phase out older platforms. So that's with Google. I mean, I think, well, the whole 360 suite, that was this year, right? It rolled out this year.
I believe maybe. It did. So, yeah, the year's so. Kind of compressed now because we're both old. And so things happen like, but I'm pretty sure it did get announced this year.
Which it got announced, and yeah. A lot of stuff was just a rebranding. But to me, the Data Studio was kind of a big thing. I know Analysis Workspace has been out since last year, but I know from having talked to a lot of people and experienced
major upgrades this year.
Yeah, it's kind of like it was a minimum viable product, and I think you could argue whether it was how viable it was for anybody who was using ad hoc. I think the viability of Analysis Workspace was limited, and I still think there's stuff that I want to do that I can't. I mean, I'm back to actually. I think I've got three different accounts on Idea Exchange, which is Adobe. It's not me trying to game the system. I just can't figure out how to get back in under old accounts, but I've been putting ideas in there. So that's kind of one avenue is the tools, and even sort of we're back to having the words thrown around like automated insights and, you know, auto do these things for you. The tool is going to take away part of your work as an analyst. But then I honestly think that there is a completely almost opposite or parallel track, which is a lot more interest in the industry around the Python and R and really getting richer into the data. And I think that's where I've met a lot more people this year who are doing that, who I don't think I knew a year or 2 years ago. And that's because we're all kind of on that little journey together. I just have no idea. I'm sure I got a major sample bias issue going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably in the same, I think you're creating sample bias for me too. That being said, I have seen R pop up in places this year that I have not, in areas where it's not been before. So that's interesting. It's possible that it's growing, and it should be growing, right? We should be equipping analysts with better tools, better capabilities, growing our skill sets. So that's good. And that brings back sort of the episode we did on, you know, is data science the future for web analysts, right? So I don't remember exactly. I pretty much forget every episode as soon as we get done recording it. So I won't have any like snappy recollections of like, oh, and then you said, Tim. But I seem to remember me thinking that's not really, and I maybe you thinking maybe it is.
I think that's where I started. I think I've evolved. I think that's where, because it started with a question at eMetrics, and then we recorded eMetrics in San Francisco, and then we did a whole episode on it, and I was coming in, and I was prepared to say data science is the future. And I have drastically backed off on that, partly from that discussion, partly because I think it's just an overall maturing that the worlds of data studio and analysis workspace, there's still going to be a space for them, and there will probably still be full-time analysts that's what they're working in, that and Excel and Tableau. I mean, I think Tableau is continuing to innovate as well, but I do think there's this other, it's not becoming a data scientist. I think that's where maybe I was a year ago, was, wow, analysts are going to have to become data scientists, or data scientists are going to swoop in and clean our clocks and we're all going to be out of jobs. And I've been now saying that I think analysts should think about becoming more data science-y. And some of that is really just getting more comfortable pulling the data with SQL or Python or R, you know, getting into BigQuery, you know, so.
Yeah, data science isn't that hard.
Well,
no, actually.
That's what, I guess maybe that's the other thing. I've admitted I can't become a data scientist. I just today was having an exchange trying to have somebody explain factor analysis to me, and I'm not sure I get it, so. I'm struggling with the basics.
I will never be a data scientist, and I am okay admitting that. And that's okay, because I get to work with data scientists who are brilliant, and I have a role to play in making them successful. So that's what I get to do around data science.
But there's a part of where you, I think last episode you talked about how you'd been shown like RSight Catalyst, Randy Zwitch's package for R. Not that you're going to use it, but the fact that I think there is that component that analysts need to be really aware. They need to be able to look at it and not say we can't do that. They got to be able to look at it and say, I might not be able to do that. Either we need a role, or I need to go add my skills, or we need to hire somebody, or we need to outsource. But that is something that can and should be done. We got to get out of trend line charts, trending aggregate data week by week.
Absolutely. And I, you know, for me personally, I feel like I haven't been able to invest the time in becoming a better analyst in terms of digital analytics, but I've been growing in my ability to kind of, you know, lead the group that I lead at Search Discovery. And it's actually kind of crazy to look back on this year and realize that we've literally doubled in size in terms of the number of people.
Number of headcount, not like everybody's been eating fried chicken and ice cream.
Yeah, well, no, hopefully we're doing the opposite of that. Sort of.
You've got to target overall team weight. So if you need to add people, everybody's got to shed a few.
Yeah, this is my motivation to stay on my diet, is talk about it on the podcast so that when everybody sees me come conference season, I can be accountable. So I'm looking for some extra motivation. So
I think there's a Hidden Brain episode on that where they actually go to, he was trying to quit smoking, I guess. The whole, like, you have to, if you publicly say you're doing something, I think I said, just maybe I just outed you.
Hey, no, well, I've been working on that this year, and I started out really strong, and it's what's been interesting to me. This is a complete non sequitur. So welcome to year in review podcast.
Who gives
everyone
a fuck? People are listening to this in the middle of December. They're drinking their eggnog and,
yeah,
so what are these guys going to say next?
No, but it's interesting because I think I had good motivation starting out, and then I had really good success early, and then it got harder to stick with the diet and keep going because I was so pleased with the initial results that I got. So it's interesting. And so I've been thinking about that a lot because I think there's analogs to a lot of things, you know, in terms of business and just overall how you live and that kind of stuff. And that's my job, is to make everything an analogy.
It's good, because I'm thinking for R, it has not been. The early wins came through hours and hours and weekends of pulling my hair out trying to do something simple. And it's really only been, you know, maybe November where I'm like, I can fire something up with confidence. So, which goes to my, we won't talk solely about
so
R, but
in 2016 Tim learned R and I hired a bunch of people and lost weight.
I was gonna say you've been focusing on it and you're your thing and you're getting it. I've actually managed to find time to focus on becoming a better analyst. I don't know that I have. not from lack of effort.
Well, that's the nice thing about you and I, Tim, is we both have enough self-doubt to help the other person just sort of be like, no, I'm terrible. No, I'm terrible.
They're going to know that I'm a fraud. I'll never make it in this industry.
That's right. After how many years, it'd be like, no, somebody's going to realize I have no place in this industry.
So full of shit.
Man, but yeah, and speaking of that, industry events and things like that, we did record our first live episode this year. That was at eMetrix San Francisco back in March. And that was interesting. Learned something that not all of us have good mic discipline in terms of keeping the mic close to our mouths. Other than that, we also didn't bring enough whiskey. So some really big learnings there. And, you know, but overall, it was very interesting and it was really fun to do. And I'm excited because I think we've got some other plans ahead of us. Super week. I like to say it like that. I don't think that's how you're supposed to say it, but if you're not familiar with Super Week, it is a conference at the end of January, beginning of February, and we are going to do a live digital analytics power hour fireside chat. So that'll be really interesting. We're just going to ask random people who are there questions. So, and we'll record their responses and make a show out of it. So I'm looking forward to that. It is in Hungary near Budapest. I don't know how you pronounce that, but I'm super excited to go there. And the roster of speakers is amazing, quite frankly. It might be a situation where your bathroom is down the hall from your room. So, but that's a European thing, and I'm okay with that.
Well, and the premise, I think that's, there's some other conferences that have really been trying to experiment with the conference format. And Super Week, I think, has gotten... I've never been, you know, but justifiably everybody who I know has gone will get our obligatory Matt Gershoff reference in. He spoke last year, and I believe he is actually speaking again this year.
Yes.
But the whole idea is that Zoli, the conference organizer, it's not like in a convention center in downtown Budapest. It's like an hour outside. He has rented the entire facility. It is a longer conference. I think it's outside of there's a workshop that Caleb Whitmore is doing on Monday, but then the conference is basically Tuesday through Friday. And the idea is that you're kind of holed up with a bunch of other analysts. So it is like the lobby bar squared. And we didn't invent the fireside chat things. Oli was like, well, hey, if you guys want to record and the premise is kind of a lobby bar, we do these fireside chat things. So it'll be informal. So that's, I'm really excited about getting to go to that.
Yeah, just imagine far in the countryside, a snow-covered, a mostly empty hotel. That doesn't remind me of any movie ever.
I'm thinking. But I think there have been other sort of experimental conference formats. I say experimental, I think just alternative, where there's been something over the last 2, 3, 4 years, kind of a reaction to the typical conference format. You know, Adobe Summit is now like the blowout, but in many ways, stereotypical vendor conference. They're throwing money at it. It's a big party. eMetrix is kind of a traditional conference. You got keynotes, you got breakouts. They're good. I mean, I'm hoping I'll get to go to some eMetrix next year, but not only Super Week, but I think the Measure Camps, which are not in the U.S., yet. And I think that is going to happen as soon as Peter O'Neill can get somebody who's not just terrified of not making it as successful as it's been in Europe. But, you know, it's on a Saturday. So it's like, look, you're only showing up if you really give a shit about this stuff. It is you write down on post-it notes or somewhere what topic you could speak on. So it's very much an unconference in the vein of, you know, Unsummit, which is more just an afternoon, but tickets just seem to disappear like instantaneously. But everybody, I've talked to people who've been to London multiple times, to Berlin, to Sydney, I think to Melbourne, and it seems like those are pretty neat. So I think that's just kind of fun from a community building kind of regional stuff that people can get to. It's pretty awesome. And that's not a development of this year, except I think those are like the traction they've gotten over the last couple of years has really, you know, taken hold where, you know, he's got to managing growth. Like, what's it become when it's one of the most popular events out there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Measure Camp seems to be popping up and really well received everywhere. And I know there's plans to bring it to the US, and that'll be awesome. And then also the DA Hub, the Digital Analytics Hub, started up over in Germany and made its way this year to the U.S. I like to just call it Duh Hub.
but it used to be, the format is what Exchange used to be, right? So they just have like a year or two hiatus.
Exchange Conference, yep. So after E&Y stopped doing the Exchange conference, the kind of the mantle passed, if you will, to the DA Hub. But yeah, so the first return, I unfortunately was not able to go this year, but heard very positive things from people who went. So that's probably another one to look for.
I guess that's, you can't really talk about the DA Hub without bringing up that Gary Angel kind of, maybe he didn't surprise people. I was on the surprised list that he's kind of jumped out of digital analytics for.
But has he really?
Well, I mean, you read his posts about it, and he's yeah. looking more at kind of shopper behavior, and he's saying he wants to bring those same practices. But Gary, obviously kind of an institution.
And Paco Underhill is sitting over there being like, bring it on, Gary.
Who? No,
actually, I don't. Paco Underhill, Why We Buy? Come on, that's like the definitive book on retail. Like,
not a retail guy.
You don't know that book? Even if you're not a retail person, I'm a digital analytics person, and I love that book. It's really good. Now I'm like worried I'm saying his name wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Paco Underhill.
You read stuff that's good for you. I just watch YouTube videos. Oh, no, wait, that's you who watches YouTube videos. Damn it. You're more well-read on the business book front.
Well, I try to find, you know, pop psychology that I can repeat.
What's the latest personality profiling?
Hey, like,
oh, Myers-Briggs making easy, a comeback and
easy does easy. It, pal. Tim is making jokes because I have recently changed my personality on accident, or maybe finally shown who I really am. I'm on a journey of discovery, and I'm not really prepared to talk about it yet, but maybe next year. Anyways, I don't think that's what people want to talk about. Anyway, I want to talk about some of the things that are my favorites from 2016 from the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Because I think this past year, we were trying to kind of take a step up in terms of both our production quality, our focus on, you know, topics, guests that we brought onto the show, you know, all those kinds of things. And so, you know, I don't know if it's really showing up anywhere. Obviously, we're definitely keeping the explicit tag because traditions, damn it. But, you know, we've had some amazing guests. I mean, we kicked off the year with Gary Angel talking about digital transformation, and now he's ending the year beginning up Digital Mortar, which is this new company. So that's really interesting to kind of see, like you already mentioned, that change. But what a way to kick off the year. I still kind of point people to that episode as, hey, if you want to get a sense for how great this podcast could be, listen to that episode. So that's good. I also remember and love the attribution episode that we did with Jim Novo. We had done an attribution episode earlier in the year, and we realized we needed to bring a real expert to the table. And so Jim came on and did a show with us, and I think it was really good. We constantly make references to Matt Gershoff, because he's one of the smartest people that we've ever met, and that's fine. But we actually had him as a guest this year too, if you recall. What's interesting is the topic was...
It's personalization.
Yeah, but it was like the Faustian bargain of personalization. So it was like looking at the underbelly of personalization just a little bit, which I thought was really cool. What were some of your favorites, Tim?
So I did a little reflecting. I think I've got to go just the one that I just got the most sheer joy out of recording and I keep going back to was when somebody from your team, when Michael Healy was on and we talked about BigQuery, partly because he, like many of the people you've already mentioned, you know, really are just passionate about the space. But for me, and I think we get to do this, it's kind of the fun of doing the podcast, is we get to find topics we don't know that much about. And I certainly did not know. I mean, I knew BigQuery was out there. I knew whatever the basic marketing blurbs were. And I just got a much, much deeper understanding, which, shocker, dovetailed with my whole investigation of R and data science and that world of things. So that was fun. I think it's also worth a lot of the episodes, the number of episodes we've done that our listener suggested, and because we're recording at the end of the year, but we've also been doing our planning towards next year, you know, we've recently kind of done our cleanup. Like, people will say, I'd love to hear an episode on X or Y. And what's kind of cool is, like, we've got 60 topics that we could do, probably 2/3 of them. We even have kind of guests that we think would be good to talk to. So So what I think is also fun when somebody says, I'd love to hear you guys talk to somebody about X, or I'd love to hear you get Josh West on and talk about tag management. And it's those have been fun too, because it's like, hey, somebody out there said they'd love to hear us chat with somebody, and I'm like, hey, and I get to actually do it. So that's cool.
That's true. And actually, that's another one of my favorites from this year, was talking tag management with Josh West. And one that, you know, is, I feel like I get along well with Josh on the TMS front, even though he certainly knows more about the tools than I do. I used to be good at the tools. No.
Now you're just a people tool.
Another one, I'm just a tool. So another show that I remember really enjoying, and I think it was sort of this moment of, wow, I was just sort of really impressed with him, was Simon Rumble, when he came on to talk about open source analytics and specifically Snowplow. And that's a really good example of one where I didn't really know a lot about that tool or those types of tools before. And it was just so fun to learn and talk to somebody who, again, super passionate about what they do and was able to bring a lot of new information and intelligence to us and our listeners, you know, through that. So those are I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tim Wilson. And, you know, actually, I got to say, just overall, we've had pretty solid luck with Australian guests this year. So Mo Kiss also being on the show, really enjoyed that show as well. So who else? Dennis Mortensen.
Be careful. We're gonna list. There's gonna be like the three people we don't mention, and they're gonna be like, what?
We're gonna list all but one guest. No, I mean, I just like Dennis because of his accent. I just love people with accents. So if you have a crazy accent, come be a guest. No, actually, it was more about just the way that Dennis, and it wasn't even really a topic about analytics per se, because he's the CEO of X.AI. Which is a scheduling artificial intelligence, but just the conversation about AI, it just was very fascinating. And that's sort of dovetails, I think we're years away, but you kind of talked about before automation of insights and task automation and things like that. AIs hopefully will become, you know, agents that go in and do a lot of the tasks for the analyst. And it's about assembling the right task doers and the best AIs to do the tasks to analyze the data, which is just a fascinating way to think about what the future might look like. But I think we're years away from that.
But it's still fighting. I think that's one of those words, the cautionary. It's kind of like big data. AI and machine learning, you know, start to get thrown around so much. And I think that episode as well, I definitely went straight to then applying it to other thinking of when Adobe or Google says, we're introducing machine learning, or what is machine learning? What Dennis, kind of how he broke it down, was this incredibly kind of pragmatic, you know, we're not achieving the singularity, and now our jobs are disappearing. Interestingly, when I was in eMetrics Berlin, one of the coolest sessions, Jan Exner from Adobe.
Oh, yeah. He's a smart dude, that guy.
Yeah. And Justin Catroni, who's, you know, he's a little bit of a slouch, but yeah,
well,
no slouch
I
from,
mean,
from.
He was good before he was Google. No.
Yeah.
But they I'm kidding.
There was a session where Anna, the moderator, they wound up kind of having that discussion, and they had differing opinions, not at all from, it wasn't from our product. I mean, it was one of those really cool things where you're like, wow, you get smart people at any vendor, and they are happy in our industry to just kick around. Like, what's the future? What's the future of marketing? What's the future of analytics? Where does AI fit? What is AI? And I definitely had the voice of Dennis playing in my head as I was watching them kind of, you know, discuss and debate where things were headed. So it's exciting.
That is great. And there's been guests we wanted to get on the show, but didn't. So I won't mention any names.
Yeah. Is that?
I was just going to tee that up and then see if you mentioned anybody.
Kevin Hellstrom. Kevin Hellstrom. He is on that list. I think he might have been listed twice on two different topics. I think in the cleanup, I cut it down to one. But someday he'll return our calls.
Hey, we will make it a goal for 2017. No, he's just an insightful dude. It'd be fun to have him on the show sometime. You know, the other show, we didn't actually have a guest for the show that I really enjoyed doing, and actually got we gotten a lot of feedback from listeners on was around assessing job descriptions. So I thought that was interesting. And I think that's something that we have to do a lot as analysts, is evaluate opportunities that come our way because there are so many out there. So anyways, that was just interesting. It seemed like that one hit a nerve and was well received by people.
Yeah, which, like, not uncommon. One of those that we headed into thinking, yeah, we'll do it. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
But
yeah,
one,
exactly.
It was a fun conversation. And two, people seemed to enjoy it. You know,
yep.
We got two pieces of feedback on it instead of our usual, just our respective mothers.
Hey, we'll take it. We will take it. The other thing probably worth mentioning this year, we obviously saw the departure of Jim Kane, our third host, earlier this year. So I don't know, I'm sort of changing to the sad music now.
The maudlin.
Yeah, bring in the strings. So we'll both tip our Guinness in for the departed. But I know it's been fun to talk to him in the months since then, just to see how things are going with him and his company and how they're growing. And it's awesome. We wish him all the best. A tip of the hat and a wag of the... Wait, no. What is that? Tip of the hat, wag... Was that the old Colbert thing? Tip of the hat, wag of the finger? But I think you only did one. I think you just do the tip of the hat, not the wag of the finger. What? How? Why am I asking you? You're not going to know this.
I don't know. Stephen
Colbert? This was on
Colbert?
Television.
Stephen Colbert? Colbert?
Yes, no. Stephen Colbert. Anyways, so, well, what else is on your mind from this past year?
This is definitely turning into the navel gazing, but I didn't realize it was missing until I think I hit this year, and how the Measure Slack has grown and gotten back to where it's just this really neat community, which, you know, the Web Analytics Yahoo group was in my early, early days in Web Analytics. It was that. There were people I never met who many of them have since moved on to other, I don't even know where they are now.
Yeah.
Then Twitter for a while was kind of the same. I mean, I think you and I basically met over on Twitter when I realized you were this guy in Cleveland who had your gangsta profile with the shades and the...
I was reading your blog long before that, Milligan on Data, back in the day.
Oh, blogging. Yeah, that's happened like four times for me this year, but I like to think this is audio blogging. So, but Twitter had gotten to where and I still, when I dip my toe back into it, it's fun and it's useful. It's just this weird thing that you're not having conversations. I haven't told you this. I'm thinking I've added every guest we've had to a list that's under the Analytics Hour Twitter handle, which I've got some ideas of some kind of interesting things to do with that.
I noticed that the Digital Analytics Power Hour just followed me on Twitter. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. We're very, very, very inconsistent as to which guests we were following.
We've got our social media game on lock. That's right.
But so Twitter is still, I enjoy it when I dip in. It's fun. It's fun at events, but it is not at all the level of discourse that...
It's all about the signal to noise ratio, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in the early days, the signal was a lot higher and the noise has creeped in and, you know, hashtags get taken over and things like that. And I think that you're right. Like, I remember the Yahoo group from when I first started in the industry, and it was just this place that was so great. And then it slowly started getting, I don't know, less useful, or, you know, just sort of it lost its luster a little. And maybe that's what happens. Like, communities just sort of grow up and then kind of entropy takes over. But I agree with you. The Measure Slack has been amazing to watch that grow. And just, you know, there's 1,300, 1,500 members in it now. And
yeah, the Measure channel is starting to get to me a little over. That's not one I regularly check, which I think is kind of cool. And especially because there are people who will route people to other more targeted channels. But I'm kind of wondering what happens when that grows to 5,000. And is Slack going to continue to innovate in a way that, even though we're not using a Slack team for kind of what Slack's core intended purpose is, I don't know what'll happen.
Yeah, I can't tell you, but, you know, big tip of the hat to, you know, Lee Isensi, who's kind of spearheaded this whole Measure Slack and really kind of kept it honest over the last couple of years here. And it's become a really amazing resource to the community. So
speaking of Slack, the only other window I have open right now is Slack, and Matt Gershoff is actually private messaging me right now. So, oh.
Par for the course. Can't he wait till after we record this show? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he saw me. I posted some like dipshit question about statistics, and he's like, oh God, Tim, you're showing yourself to be an idiot, I think is what he's thinking. But he'll clear me up later. We're going to have some intensive sessions in Budapest.
Budapest. Can I join? I want to come. Can I come? So I think it's probably not going to work to not talk about Domo and Tableau and how they're setting themselves up in such a crazy way for the next year. So obviously, a couple months back, Tableau had their conference. It's a big show. It's an awesome show. Tableau's an awesome product. They've rightfully gotten their place there. But Josh James, gosh darn it, the guy is kind of an evil genius. So I'll compare and contrast, because, you know, obviously, full disclosure, Search Discovery is a Domo partner and a Tableau partner, but we do a lot of work with Domo. So we have there is stuff that we do that we should say, right? So I'm not trying to say positive or negative things about either one, but I don't understand why they're trying to fight each other. Well, it's
they're more, not this more,
Domo is trying to fight Tableau. I don't look at those two and be like, I have to choose between these. And I really wonder, from a marketplace perspective, are they really finding that that's the choice that people are making? Like, oh, I have to choose Tableau or I have to choose Domo. I don't see those as competitive, really, in what they're both trying to go out and do. And maybe I've got it completely wrong. There is some crossover. Don't get me wrong. There is some. But it's like the difference between Hitwise and Urchin. And it's like, those aren't competitors.
Well, but I think because at the level that they are selling and marketing themselves, you know, it's interesting because Tableau was like, started out as we're a much, much better alternative to Excel. We've rethought this. We've engaged Stephen Few. Your stuff needs to not look like crap. And I feel like they played in that space for a few years. And then somebody was like, well, you got to put your big boy pants on and be able to deal with enterprise data. And they said, oh, you're right. You know, and they kind of, you know, blew up. And so I see, from not being having dabbled with both, not being a partner of either one, but applauding what they're doing, like it's when pitching to the buyers at the companies they're at, I think evil genius of Josh James is part of it. That if you say, you know, I'm competing with you, you know, and he's like, what are you? And that's happened in the web analytics industry as well. There are plenty of platforms that won't be named who.
WebTrends was the leading analytics tool. And then Omniture came along and stole their lunch money. And Josh James did crazy, crazy stuff and made crazy statements and had his people out there saying crazy things to gain attention, to drive a conversation, drive awareness. And then they just stole all the market share. And it's impressive at the same time as it's sort of like, are they really going to be able to do it again? Because I feel like Tableau is a much stronger product than WebTrends was at the time.
It's more mature, right? It's been around, and where it came from was a lot of the user experience for, I mean, I think I agree. Like, you look at what you can do to visualize and explore the data. I think Domo's been down the, we've got to create a gazillion connectors. We've got to have the story of hooking all this data in. And from the last time I looked at it, it's still pretty crude. It's kind of Data Studio-ish when you say, I want to actually, you know, build something that's a rich visualization and I truly want to explore it. Conceptually, sure. You got two tables of data with a common key. You can join them and do stuff with them on the fly in a somewhat unique alternative to a data warehouse. But I think until you get to where you've got, I just feel like the Tableau user base is so passionate, and that's not unjustified. Yeah. It's not the Adobe user base that in some cases is so passionate because they finally figured out how everything works, you know, and how it's wired together, which is not really that's not intended to be a diss on Adobe, but I'm sure it came across that way.
Oh, well, we're going to hear from some people about that one. Way to go, Tim.
So I don't know. I think Tableau. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think so, from a pure marketing savvy perspective, it's probably the right play, right? We'll go to where all the people are. All right. Well, they're all at the Tableau conference. All right, let's go there too. But I do wonder how, the rank and file or the people who really love Tableau, how do they perceive that? Is it sort of like, well, we'll check them out, or is it like, ugh, I don't want to be associated with this company? So I'm curious to see how that will play out. And I think the next year will show us. That being said, there's a lot. I mean, I'm pretty open with the fact that we do quite a bit with Domo, and we see really cool things happening with companies using it to operationalize data. And in ways that it's a little easier to do that with some of the ways that Domo works than with some of the ways that Tableau works. But I think Tableau gives you a little more raw power for the individual analyst to kind of manage the interface, and how things look, whereas Domo's a little more buttoned up in that regard.
But it's interesting that Domo doesn't position them as, they don't even really think about that they're competing with Adobe or Google, because they're an enterprise thing. But if Domo really, really hits, then what I think that could mean for Adobe and Google is that, it is for Google, it's just the data collection going into BigQuery. And then from there on out, it's Domo. And for Adobe, it's just the data feed.
Adobe's data warehouse capability is really kind of stuck in Adobe Premium, right? Formerly Visual Sciences.
Right. Well, not to be confused with what they call data warehouse, which is just a way to configure reports that is not really a data warehouse, but yeah.
Yeah. So BigQuery, I'd say, is further along in terms of just being better understood. Adobe Analytics Premium is just sort of arcane in that a few people know how to use it. It's really powerful, but you got to be one of those people.
Yep.
And I don't know to what extent they'll ever get past that, just because it's a pretty expensive product. And so it's kind of like, well, maybe we just use Redshift, and try to do the same things.
Right.
Or BigQuery. Right. So in that respect, I think Google is in a little bit better spot. And Google this year launching the 360 measurement suite. It's not a marketing cloud. It's a measurement suite, is what I was told to say.
Yeah.
but, everybody and their brother has a marketing cloud now, right? Oracle, Salesforce, Adobe, Google.
I don't see Google, because Google is so entrenched in paid search and analytics in service of that, right? I mean, they, even though they've got the measurement studio, it is still focused around the data and what you can do with it. So there's going to continue to be that.
Fair.
Adobe's got the broader play of, they've got, a CMS, they've got, marketing automation, they've got campaign management. So, there's...
Well, right, and that's where the crossover with Oracle and Salesforce is a little more competitive, right? So, Oracle has their commerce cloud and those kinds of things. I think Salesforce has bought like 45 companies this year. I can't remember all of them. But I know.
Well, and by the time this episode comes out, Domo, Josh may say that he come out and announced that once again, he completely lied to everyone as to what he's actually trying to accomplish. And this will all be like, oh.
That's right. Domo announces the Sitecore acquisition. And we're just like, whoa. No, I'm just kidding. If that happens now, that can't happen. First off, that is never going to happen. Just to be clear, I'm not predicting that. I made that up. If it does happen, though, I need to be paid more.
we'll have the evidence. We'll have a timestamp on the audio
so
file.
I do think 2017 is shaping up to be really interesting, because the one thing that I feel like companies struggle with a lot is getting easier and easier and more accessible, and that is getting the data into people's hands in ways that they can use it in meaningful ways. And, if you think about the historical usage or the historical tools, we were all exporting this data from our tool set into Excel, right? And then we started exporting it into here and there into Tableau, and the more sophisticated companies were starting leveraging Tableau. But now the tools themselves, right? Data Studio, Analysis Workspace from Adobe. These are the tools that are driving forward the ability to leverage data in more meaningful ways. And that is really exciting to me. That is what our whole industry needs to embrace, is how do we create a view of this data for you that you can go in, ask questions, slice and dice the data in ways that are kind of safe for you to do it, whatever your role in the company is, and explore your own data. And, you know, I always do this. I always get too enthusiastic because I don't actually believe in data democracy. I don't believe in it. But it's sort of like I want sort of like a data republic. Not a democracy, but a republic.
You want a data electoral college?
A data federation of independent states. No, nice. I don't know what I want. We should probably go back and listen to the governance episode back in year one with John Levitt to review. Anyway, but it is exciting. I'm excited because I think that will only continue, and I love the trend that is.
Yep, I agree. I'm with you.
So everybody, learn R, learn Data Studio or Analysis Workspace. Pick a side, Tableau or Domo, or use both. I feel like I refuse to choose. I like both of them.
And to be fair, there are plenty of people, like, you know, Mo talked about on last episode, there are people using R with Tableau, right? I mean, that's cobbling together a tool set that works the best and then recognizing that inside of 1 to 2 years, hopefully there will be a vendor that says, hey, you don't have to have both of those. We can do it equally well. But that causes the bloody fights of products kind of debating who can do what better.
Yep, I totally agree. Well, Tim Wilson, it has been my pleasure to host this podcast with you for another year, part of that year with Jim Kane, our other host, and who knows what 2017 will hold. Perhaps.
We got some plans.
But some plans. We got some plans, and I'm excited to launch into next year with you and our occasional guests as we kind of explore that. If you're listening to this show and you've got some recollections or some things that made you kind of grumpy about what we said this year, we'd love to hear from you. And the way that you can talk to us is you can talk to us through Facebook or the Measure Slack, or even though we're down on Twitter lately, you can still talk to us via Twitter. But, you know, at the end of the day, the best way for you to get us to pay attention is to review us on iTunes. No, not really. But okay. If you did want to rate us on iTunes,
we occasionally remember to go and actually check iTunes. So,
yeah. Well, no, but we do appreciate it if you wanted to rate us there. That's always appreciated. And since it's the end of the year, then we, we're shilling like crazy. Just shilling. anyways, we usually do in a section on the show called The Last Call. I forgot to think of one, but Tim has one. So, Tim, what's your last call for 2016?
I wouldn't say it's all that great, except that it ties in that some of this reflecting on the Digitalonics Power Hour. So I've found, as I have been trying to learn new things around analytics, that has kind of filled up my brain, and I have therefore needed to relax in various intellectual ways my mind. And to credit to, it was you and Jim Kane, and it was right back at the beginning of when we were recording at all. Somewhere John Scalzi came up, who's an Ohio-based guy, a writer. I'd never heard of him. I looked on my Kindle app and realized I've now read 6 of his books, which he's written many, and he's written nonfiction. I think you guys had me start with Red Shirts, and then I went, which was kind of wacky and funny, and then I read, it's actually headed me down other paths, so it's kind of an endorsement, because I read Old Man's War, and then that wound up, I wound up reading The Forever War by Joe Haldeman, which was written back like in the 70s, which it's shocking how much it does. And Scalzi kind of acknowledges, like, he'd never heard of Forever War. And he's like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't read that before, because I, in many ways, feel like I ripped that off. But then I wound up reading, I was just looking through like whatever was free or cheap on Amazon, and read a little Philip K. Dick, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Which then I was like, oh, look, Scalzi's got a book that is a, what is it called? The Android's Dream. He's got which is one of the funnier kind of Douglas Adams like. So that's just kind of a last call of finding something outside of analytics. Although because it's kind of futurist, I used to be a big sci-fi guy when I was a kid. Kind of to credit to you and Jim, I've gotten a little bit back into it, and it's been it's been fun, and it's been fun because there are, my mind can't help but jump back over to our industry and some of the things that are happening is reading some of those books that are sort of trying to imagine the future, dystopian or not.
I like our dystopian analytics future. Wait, no. I would like to say that in some way you shaped my life this year. No, I'm just kidding. I would actually, I mean, the stuff you've done with R this year, I've been super impressed with, and it's actually made me excited to try to learn more in the space of data science specifically, not as a practitioner, just as somebody who has snappy things to say about it, but still baby steps. I at least want to know how to talk about it. There's a good Coursera specialization about sort of an executive level data science course. So I'll probably start taking that next year. All right. Well, here we are. We finished 2016. Thank you so much for listening. As you think about being an analyst and a digital analytics practitioner in 2017, just never stop analyzing.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Measure Slack group. We welcome your comments and questions. Facebook.com/analytics hour or at analytics hour on Twitter.
So smart guys wanted to fit in, so they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work.
But I've been doing a lot of soul searching.
Have you?
Because,
have you found your soul? Do you have one?
No.
Let me know when you realize that's because those personality tests are completely worthless and it's utter crap. When your search turns up that, we can speak again.
Your personality would say that.
Typical.
Really? Oh, well, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about that? Because I do research before the show.
Oh.
Most of the time. I doubt that the drunk helps emoticon is raising my stature in the industry at all.
Rock flag and navel gazing.